There have been worries about the damaging effects of kids spending too much time looking at screens for years now, but during the pandemic, with school and socializing moving entirely online or almost entirely, limiting screen time has become almost impossible. So should we be concerned? Joining us now is Michael Robb, who is Senior Director of Research at Common Sense Media. Michael, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, and about how much time on average did kids spend online or looking at their screens before the pandemic, and how has that changed since the pandemic?
For young children between the ages of 0 to 8, kids spend about 2 to 2.5 hours a day with screen media. Kids between the ages of 8 to 18 spend somewhere around 7.5 hours a day with screen media pre-COVID. And right now, we don't know. Our best guess is that it's probably a lot more than that because we are so much more reliant on technology than we were pre-pandemic. But the honest answer is I don't know exactly how much now.
Well, if we are, in fact, looking at kids spending a lot more time looking at their screens now than they did before, does that concern you?
It depends. I mean, I think in some ways we should be looking to technology and media to be more of a safety net than we've considered it in the past. And I think we probably need to move away from thinking about screen time as some kind of monolithic thing that's going to affect all kids equally and shift from thinking about quantity to thinking more about quality of screen use.
What does that mean? What would be high quality screen use?
You know, if you're a kid who's engaged with high quality content that's stoking their curiosity and it's fueling their imagination, you know, who's to say that it should end just because it hit some kind of arbitrary screen limit? And what we know from research is that it's very little to do with just how much time and a lot more to do with the quality of the content that they see, whether it's something that's educational, that it's well matched to a kid's interests, and also what's the environment around that media experience. So if parents are, you know, either watching or using media with their kids or maybe asking them about what they're seeing and hearing after the fact, all that's going to make a much bigger impact on the quality of that media experience than just knowing how much time the kid's spending with it.
But if in fact kids are just spending more time playing video games or watching entertainment content, that would be a problem.
I think a better way to look at this might be to kind of back into it from the other direction. You know, we have maybe 10, 15 years worth of research about, you know, iPads and interactive media and things like that. But we have 100 years of research about child development. So if you know during this moment where kids are more socially isolated and maybe more prone to having kind of disrupted schedules than they have in the past, that you know that they are still engaging in the things that we know are healthy for kids, that they're sleeping enough, getting some exercise, that they are being social online or off, engaging in, you know, their hobbies, then you don't have to worry about counting every single screen minute.
Still, there are certainly concerns about mental health for yeah. You know, especially if teenagers are using a lot of social media or kids are using more social media. Tell us about some of those concerns that exist right now.
Yeah. So, you know, we've observed in recent years that there has been an increase in depression and suicidal ideation and suicide among adolescents, particularly among young girls between the ages of 10 to 14 and girls of color. And this was all occurring pre-pandemic. A lot of people think that social media or technology use is a cause of that increase. But when we look at the research, what you find is that claim is pretty uncertain. But we do find, though, is that there are some kids who are especially vulnerable. And those are the kids that we should be more concerned about.
Well, and a recent study by your group, Common Sense Media, found that the conflict that screen time creates oftentimes in families can be damaging to mental health rather than the actual screen time.
Yeah, when you look at the actual like size of an effect, that conflict within families, including conflict over screen time, can be a bigger driver of mental health problems than actual, you know, just looking at how much screen time a kid had. You know, I don't want to say that that should just mean it's a free-for-all for all kids on social media or online, but, you know, it is the case that kids who are having offline problems are more likely to also be having online problems. You know, if you have a kid who has kind of like a low social status offline or a history of being victimized or cyber or bullied, you know, those are kids who have really unique vulnerabilities when they go online and may need extra care and support on social media.
So what are your recommendations to parents who are listening to this who may wonder how much time their child should be allowed to spend looking at a screen each day, and how to make sure that they're getting the high quality screen time as opposed to low quality screen time.
This is a very stressful time for a lot of people, and I'm advising parents to really not feel guilty. Right? We are living through a massive cultural shock, and families have enough stress to deal with. Counting screen minutes should be pretty low on the list of concerns for any of us. I think parents should remember that not all screens are equal. Just because a kid has online learning and you think that's adding to their screen time, don't worry about that. Like, we shouldn't be lumping all screen activities together as if they're all the same thing. Like you just alluded to, I think good content is key. And the other thing I would say is try to use technology to bond, right? Because one of the things that we really know about child development is that relationships are critical. And given that, you know, we are probably going to be using more technology for the foreseeable future, we should be using that tech to help kids connect to friends and family, to collaborate with each other, to play together, to share stories, to chat and stay in contact with each other, because those relationships are going to be helping to build kids' resilience and support their positive mental health outcomes.
Now, I know that even as an adult, I should not be looking at a screen right before I go to sleep, even though often I do, but I shouldn't be doing it because it can make my sleep not as good as it would otherwise be. Does that apply? Should parents keep their kids off the screens right before bed?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I have the same concern. So one of the things that we find is that the link between good quality sleep and positive mental health outcomes is much stronger, for example, than the link between screen use and positive mental health outcomes. So getting a good night's sleep is really, really important. So to the extent that, you know, if you have a kid who's on really late at night, or they have notifications that are waking them up and keeping them awake at night, then that is an issue that should be addressed.
There's also the issue of access. There are people in this country who don't have the same access to technology as others. With kids especially spending more time looking at screens, is there going to be a digital divide problem that gets exacerbated because of that?
Absolutely. And this is one of my primary concerns. Digital media technology should be a social safety net right now. And you can't really understand kids' experiences and mental health or their digital technology use without considering poverty, because poverty is shaping both of those things. And COVID-19 has really shown a bright light on the existing inequalities that are placing too many young people at risk of being left behind. So, you know, what you end up with is you have a lot of vulnerable adolescents, specifically those who are Black, Latinx, or from lower income households, who are unable to reliably access or receive support in digital spaces. And we can't ignore the fact that those inequalities are likely to be amplified online and during this crisis.
Do you think that this whole experience is going to lead to long-term changes in how we think about kids and screen time? Because I think, you know, going into this conversation even, I was thinking the less screen time, probably the better for kids. But it sounds like you're saying we're moving in a different direction.
I mean, I think the issue is that we are so obsessed with screen time that we kind of miss the point sometimes. It is what you do on screens that matters. So I hope that one of the things that comes out of this is that, you know, we have come to have a better, more nuanced understanding of the relationship that technology and media play in our lives. And by way of example, you know, I used to hear a lot of concern from parents about their, mostly boys, being addicted to Fortnite and it being a really serious disruption. And since the pandemic has started, I've heard a lot of gratitude from parents whose kids can't be social with each other in person. So thankful that their kids are able to play Fortnite together and talk to each other and have fun together. It kind of just shows you, you know, how quickly one thing can flip 180 degrees depending on your perspective. None of this should replace in-person interaction. When a vaccine comes out and people are able to go back outside, we should absolutely still be emphasizing the importance of being together in person. But I do hope that we think a little more clearly about what the real dangers are as it comes up with screen use and social media use.
That is Michael Robb, who's Senior Director of Research at Common Sense Media. We'll link you to their study about this at hereandnow.org. Michael, thank you.
You're very welcome.